so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me. Go with me to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. The book of Mark. Let me encourage you tonight to come be a part of our summer night, showing the shack tonight. Now, let me just say to you, it is not theologically correct movie. So, just chill out, leave your religious and your religion at home. And don't think that that's what heaven is. Well, the shack says, not the shack, the Bible. That's what you need to understand. Now, if you look at this movie through a theological insight, you're going to be appalled. Just enjoy the movie. Amen. Last night, my daughter and I went to see Valerian. There was no scriptural reference at all to it. It was unscriptural. Because I didn't expect it to be. I just went and enjoyed the movie. By the way, it's a horrible movie, but anyway. Anybody saw that yet? I think a sixth grader wrote it. It was horrible. About halfway through it, my daughter looked at me and go, "I'm sorry." I go, "You better be. Because this movie stinks." "Well, Pastor, why didn't you leave? Do you know how much I paid for that movie? I'm getting all my money. I waited for the credits to run, baby. I'm getting all of it out." Come on, somebody. Amen. So come tonight. Just enjoy it, all right? Just enjoy it. Amen. Go with me to the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Next Sunday, we are having baptismal Sunday. We're looking forward to that. We could have had it today and just stood out in the rain, right? Amen. But next Sunday, we're excited. We got about seven or eight that are being baptized in this service next week. We've got about the same amount being baptized in the 11 o'clock service. So I'm excited about that, man. So come out and be a part of that. Also, we'll be having communion. And we've still got a couple of more spots if you wanted to be baptized. We still have a couple of more spots. But you need to sign up today to mark out your spot. And if we don't have more, then I'll give a small devotion, not long. So pray. Amen. If you're in the Gospel of St. Mark, say amen. Amen. If you can't find it, don't say nothing. That's embarrassing. Don't even say nothing. Amen. Let's just go with it. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard, I want you to underline it, when she heard about Jesus. See, there's something that happens to us when we hear things. When you hear something going on, it does something to you. Some people go, "Well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." You're an idiot, because they will hurt you. Words do more to start wars and end wars than any other thing. Words leave scars that physical will heal, but words will leave them there. But she said she heard about Jesus, and she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Hallelujah. For she said, here's what she said. She said, "If I can only touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, I want you to catch that. She touched him. And he knew immediately that something had left him. Power had flowed out of him, is what was that, that's what he said. And he turned around and he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" You know, I want everybody to get a picture of that. In a huge crowd, you ever been on a subway in New York at rush hour? How about a subway in Washington, D.C. at Promise Keepers? Good gracious. How about a subway in Atlanta? Whatever. If you've ever been crammed into a train, how about going to the airport? You know, you get in some of those things, and I'm telling you, I have been felt up by some folk. I'm like, hey, come on here, hold up. Because everybody's touching you. But yet, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said, "Are you kidding me?" Now, you know, think about Jesus. Think about the disciples maybe being a little bit, not aggravated, but maybe aggravated, trying to keep everybody away from him or keep everybody from you know, just reaching out and grabbing him. But he goes, and they go, "Are you kidding me? We're in this multitude. People are everywhere. And you ask, 'Who touched me?'" The next verse. He looked around to see who had done this thing. Was it a bad thing? No. Who had touched him? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down at him and told him the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray in the name of Jesus that you give us an ear to hear that may change our life in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. I'm at a place in my life. I want to talk to you about the touch that stops God. The touch that stops God. The touch that turns God around. The touch that moves God. The touch that makes him stop and pay attention. The touch that causes him to look around to see where you're at. But I don't understand how we can have such powerful services. How we can, and not just because I'm preaching, but the services that we've been having, it's been an incredible time in the past few months. And I'm dumbfounded how we can have these type of services and people getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and people falling out and people dancing and people getting delivered, so forth, so on. But yet the worship team, I don't know whether you recognize it, but man, they've been putting us into the heavens. And yet some of us, in the midst of all that, in the middle of all that, some of us still won't get right. In the middle of this, some of us still are dealing with issues that we will not let God heal us from. We continue in sickness. We continue in depression. We continue in these areas that God said he would heal, but yet we wonder, why don't him? And then we blame people for why he does it. We blame the preacher. We blame the care pastor. We blame this one. We blame that one. We blame the music. We blame everybody. But why isn't he touching? Can I tell you that it's not Jesus' fault? It's not the church's fault. It's not the Lord's fault. It's our fault. Because we're in the midst of a move of the God, but yet we keep waiting for God to touch me. Instead of me touching God. We've been busy and making the mistake, I believe, that we sit there and say, "Jesus, please touch me." And God will from time to time. But I don't have to wait for him to touch me. Because he's given me the ability and the authority to touch him. Now, everybody can feel his touch when he touches you. And that's the way we want it, because that's the way that our society has set us up to live. We have set ourselves up that I'm entitled. If I come to church, I expect the God to come wherever I am, find me in my situation, and touch me. And let me say this, God can and God will do that. However, what about our responsibility? Althea had no idea what I was preaching on this morning, but she dealt with it a little bit, that what is our responsibility? Responsibility to get God to touch us. Maybe the problem is that we're just waiting for God to seek us out. But God said, for they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth, for I seek such a people to worship me. If you want God to seek you out, maybe you ought to worship him in a way that causes him to seek you out. Maybe if you want God to touch you, maybe you need to press through the crowd or press through your situation, press to what you're going through, and touch the hem of his garment and let him say, who touched me? Instead of us saying, God, just please touch me. I believe that God is saying, I'd like for you to give me something without me always having to initiate action. Woo! All right now. Let me talk to you men. Don't you love it? Listen, I love it. I love my wife. I love to hug and kiss and everything that goes along with that. I love it. But man, oh Jesus, I love it when she initiates contact with me. Come on, somebody. You know, I know some men like, I just want, hey, I'm going to chase her from now on. It doesn't even matter. I'm going to chase her. However, I love it when she chases me. Come on, somebody. And that's right. Go ahead, Mike. Mike just put his arm around his wife. There you go, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying? Listen to me, ladies. Those of you that are married, we men like it every once in a while when you initiate some. Oh, don't get embarrassed. Right? I'm talking about marriage right now. If you ain't married, you better quit initiating altogether until you initiate a ring. Should have put a ring on it. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. All right, but now here's the deal. See, here's what we got to understand. There's a doctrine that says if I just show up, God will take care of the rest, but I've never found that in the Word. I found in the Word, though, that when I initiate contact with him, he always contacts me. When I initiate worship, he always responds to me. And we've been making that mistake, that I believe that God is saying, I'd like for you to give me something without me always having to initiate it. Why don't you initiate it? Oh, it's easy to worship him when you feel it. You know, you come to church, you wake up, hallelujah. You wake up on the right side of the bed. You wake up singing, Jesus is mine, hallelujah. You wake up, can't stop praising his name. Oh, I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. And you love that, man, when you wake up. But what about when you wake up and you don't feel like praising the name? What about when you wake up and it's raining outside? Come on, somebody. What about when you wake up and it's raining outside and it's raining inside? You're like, what in the world? Come on here. And you wake up and things are not ready for you. And it's a little bit more difficult to initiate worship when you don't feel like doing it. The Lord is here, but he's waiting for us to touch him, to put an effort forward and say, Lord, if you don't touch me, I'm still going to touch you. But I promise you, I'm trying to think. I've been married 31 years, Roger. But my wife ain't here, so I got to be careful who I do this with. And y'all know I ain't that way, but anyway. But I've never, I'm fussing to grab your hand. I'm just telling them, y'all know I ain't that way. But anyway, I've never, when my wife reached out to take my hand, pulled my hand away. I've never, when she put her arm around me, pushed her away. I've never, when she wanted to kiss, turned my head. Come on, somebody. I've never done that. Why? Because I'm a dude, number one. That's right. But do you think God is any different? when you come to God. How many of you would do that to your children? They come to you with open arms and you go, get out of here. Quit it. Stop it. Stop it. No, you wouldn't do that. No, no. We would always respond to the initiation of action on our behalf. Now, I know some women, and sometimes my wife. She ain't here. And y'all better not go tell her. No, when we first started dating, we were just starting our dating, and I considered myself a ladies man at the time. And so I went in for a kiss, and she stopped me. I went, oh, no, she didn't. So here's what I don't recommend it, but here's what I said to myself. And it came, I go, well, first of all, that's the first girl who's ever stopped me from kissing her. Secondly, she'll have to ask me for a kiss before I give her another one. Did she? Yes, she did. That's right. But that's how sometimes we treat God, right? We treat God that way sometimes because God didn't touch me today, so now I'm going to sit over here and pout. That don't do nothing. That don't do nothing. How about you initiate it? How about you initiate the touch to God? Anybody can respond when Jesus is going by and just putting his hand on everybody. But anybody can respond when the wind of another world blows past. How about can you respond when you're in depression? How about responding when you've lost a loved one? How about responding when your spouse walks out on you? How about responding when things are not going your way? But you decide that today is the day of salvation. This is the Lord's day and I shall be glad in it. And I'm going to initiate some contact with my God. And if I touch him, I know that he'll touch me back. Oh, I'm preaching better than your amen. It's time for our church to walk with God that we can't wait on God to touch us. We've got to put forth an effort and touch him. I promise you, if you touch him, he'll turn around. I promise you, I wasn't even going to go there. But if you touch him, he'll turn around. If you touch him, the virtue will flow. The power will come if you touch him.
Well, Pastor, I ain't never touched him.
No, no. If you touch him, you know you've touched him. Because the power of God comes. See, point number one is this. God rewards effort. You know, your mom and daddy ever tell you, well, you get an E for effort. But God rewards effort. You know, how many of us, let me look around. I don't really see any older ones, but how old's your baby here, Carl? He's only 4 months old. All right, so what's his name? What is it? Franklin, I don't want to wake him up. I think I did. All right, so it would be ludicrous for 4-month-old Franklin for us to stand him up. He's 4 months old. He's going to fall to the floor. Or how about when he gets to be 9 months? Oh, there's another one back there. How old is she? She's only 5 months. So wouldn't it be ludicrous for us to expect them to walk when you know they can't? Or how about when they start walking, the first time, the first step they take, and you go, oh, and you clap. They fail. You're clapping for them failing. Are you getting this? You know, they stand up to walk and they fall and you go, you loser. If we witness that, there aren't too many of you who would go, that person's so awful. But do you think God does that with you? Do you think that you go, God, I want to, you loser. God, I wouldn't. No, you didn't do it right. You didn't hit the right note on the piano. You didn't sing the right note. He hears and sees your effort to touch him. But what do we do as a parent? When you see your child, you stay real close. Come on, somebody. You stay real close trying, and if they start to fall, you'll reach out and grab them, and you'll help them. You let them hold their hand. You start them out holding your hand. But if they ever start walking to you, you don't walk further away and say, forget you. No, you might walk a little bit further away to get them to walk further because they're into there. Listen, sometimes God goes, oh, you're worshiping. Come on, worship me a little bit more. Come on, you're doing good. He said, I inhabit the praises of my people. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek his face. God is a rewards effort. Matthew 17:27 says, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Now, those of you who don't know that story, that is when they were collecting taxes and they needed some money. And Jesus went fishing or sent some folks fishing. And the fish they caught had some money in its mouth and they paid the taxes with it. That's cool. But check this out. I love the story of the Lord supplying the disciples' needs with a fish holding gold in his mouth. But if Peter is going to get the tax money, he's got to go fishing. See, man, Pentecostals are some of the world's worst. That we just want God to do it. I'm saved. Oh, and here's this. And I'm glad you're here. I really am. You came out today. I'm so honored that you're here. But yet we come here and go, all right, God, I'm here. God, do you know what I went through to get here? And man, it better be something today. See, some of you laughing because you said that. I hope God appreciates me going through this to get to the church. And then Jesus says, really? Really? What you went through to get there? How about what I went through to get you there? My God, somebody hear me. The fish didn't hop into their boat. The fish didn't hop into their boat. Somebody had to put forth an effort and go fishing. Everybody talks about Jesus' first miracle at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. However, what if, and everybody talks about they drank and the wine, but yet somebody had to fill the pots with water. Somebody had to do it. What are we doing in some of our services? We're waiting for Jesus to do everything. How about when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he still said, y'all. He was Southern. He said, y'all remove the stone. And then after he said, Lazarus come forth, then he said, y'all take his grave clothes off. What this tells me is that we've got to be involved in the process of our own deliverance. That we've got to be involved in the process of our own touch. We need to be involved in the process of the blessing of God coming to our life. We need to touch him. Listen, church. If there's going to get the fish after toiling all night and catching nothing, somebody is going to have to drop the nets when they don't feel like it. If you're going to be the recipient of great things, we're going to have to get great things going by doing some things. Forgive me tonight if I'm a little provoked. Because something somewhere should have been born in your soul up to now. Something somewhere, you're still waiting for God to do everything, and he's saying, just touch me. Touch me. Reach in. Begin to seek me with all of your heart. We almost act like Jesus is a bellhop and he's supposed to come cater to us. And I blame the pulpit for some of us because that's what we've preached. Well, you just say this and Jesus is going to hop to it. Listen to me. You're not going to manipulate God. You cannot dictate to God. He is God. And he's not egotistical. He just don't have any trouble being God. And if you want what he's got, then you've got to come to him on his terms, not your own. Can you say amen? In John chapter 9, Jesus told one man, if you want to get your eyesight back, go wash in the pool Siloam. In 2 Kings chapter 5, the man of God told the leprous man Naaman, if you want your healing, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He told the widow woman, if you want to save your family, get some vessels and get along with God and the oil will pour. But she first had to put forth an effort. I've come by to tell you today that quit waiting for somebody to come along and put a shaky hand on your head. You're waiting on the wrong thing. But if you'll reach out and touch God, He'll touch you right in the midst of your situation and change your life. We sit around saying, touch me, Jesus, and if He don't, then we go home disappointed. Well, that was an all right service. It was a little dry, more like a Bible study today. That's a cop out. God never ordered a dry service. He's never ordered a dry service. There's nothing ordinary about the God. He's the one who parts the seas. He's the one who raises the dead. He's the one who heals the sick and controls the sun. He's the one who knows all the stars by name. He is the one. He's one that, but He's wanting you to put, you and I, to put something forth. Why do you think we worship in here, this place? It's not so that we can showcase talent. No, we want you to forget about the things of yesterday. We want you to press through the mire of today and the memory of yesterday and press into where God is and begin to reach out and touch Him where He is. We've got to do something and put forth an effort. You see, sometimes we're like the lame man being carried to Jesus, and the crowd was so large, remember this, that they couldn't get to Him, so they had to take off the roof and let Him down. But here's the problem. If we're not careful, we accept the obstacles as a good excuse to give up. I'm going to say it again. If we're not careful, we accept the obstacle as a good excuse to give up. Well, I'll tell you the problem today, Pastor, is they took prayer out of school. That is not the problem. The problem is if you've allowed prayer to be taken out of your home. That's not the problem. The problem isn't the pastor. The problem isn't the worship leader. Listen, I know what it is. You can sit around every hypocrite known to man and still get a prayer answered to God. You can still touch God. It doesn't matter who's around you, who's sitting with you, who ain't sitting with you, who's upset with you, who's mad at you, but you can sit right there in the midst of it and touch God, because God doesn't filter my relationship through anybody else other than me and God. So in the midst of my situation, I can lift up my hands and lift up my spirit, and I can touch the hem of His garment in the midst of going through hell, because I know in whom I have believed, and I believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek His face. I refuse to just give up and let my obstacle be my excuse. But I say today that it's time to rip off the roof of the house of ordinary, the house of religion, the house of selfishness, the house of rebellion. It's time to get to Jesus no matter what we have to do. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It's the way of today that multitudes were following Jesus. The Bible said that multitudes followed Jesus, but one leper came and worshiped Him. Now I want you to catch this. You ain't got time to read it. Don't read it while I'm preaching. But He told His disciples, let's go to the other side. He got off and the multitudes were there. And everybody came for the miracles. But one leper, the Bible said, came and worshiped. And guess what happened to the leper? He was cleansed. He was cleansed. What's my next one, Mike? Oh, I went too far. That's all right. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, He said the leper came and worshiped. And the Bible says that Jesus touched him and made him whole. But what it doesn't say, but I need you to hear, is that He didn't touch everybody. Well, but Pastor, the Lord knows my need before I pray. So therefore, I told Him once. And so if I pray any more time, it's a lack of faith. Oh, you're such a moron. And please don't be offended. There'll be plenty of other times. Don't be offended by my preaching. See, he healed the leper because the leper said, I'm going to touch him. And he fell at Jesus' feet and worshiped him. Nobody else in the multitude got anything but the leper. You ever see people, you know, you see people get touched at church and you go, well, God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why didn't you touch me? Why didn't you bless me? Why didn't you get Oh, shutteth thou moutheth. May thy tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth. Hush. I'll tell you what's wrong. I'll tell you why. Because they somehow touched God. Maybe you didn't see it, but maybe they got out of their comfort zone and began to seek God. Maybe they rose up early in the morning while you were still asleep. Maybe they stayed up late at night still while you were still asleep, searching and seeking God and trying to touch the hem of his garment. You don't know what they went through. You just see them right now when they're in the house, but you don't know what happened behind the closed doors. Oh, right now, you look like you're clothed in your right mind, but nobody heard you hollering last night at the hour of midnight saying, God, I got to need a touch. God, I need to touch you, Lord. God, I need you to help me out here. You didn't see them then. We in church and so we act right. But I've come by to tell you that we've got to initiate some things. God is waiting for somebody to touch him with their worship. You know, my daughter and I you know, she's only 20 years old. My youngest daughter, she goes, Dad, she said, you know, all you older people, I said, be careful, girl. Be careful. You still rely on me. She said, all you older people get such, do I got any power up here? Let's see. But that song doesn't do much for me. Maybe it's, she said, it's just not my genre. I always put a D with it. Genre. Maybe it's just not my genre. I go, no, what it is you've never needed the grace like some of us needed the grace. You was raised in the house of God. And you don't understand that when he took a wretch like me and he brought me up from the miry clay and put my feet on the rock to stay, you just don't know what God did. You don't recognize it, but God did it for you too. You just don't realize the grace of God because God kept you from some of those things. But my God, when you begin to understand it, come on somebody. God is waiting for somebody to touch him. Point number two is this. The Bible says God inhabits our praises. Psalms 22 and 3. You want God in your situation, start praising him. I'm not talking about praising him just to get him there. I'm talking about praising him. Praise and worship produces the opportunity to touch God. But we have become satisfied with just being in his presence. Let that sink in a minute. Let that sink in. Praise and worship has the ability to get us into his presence, and we have become satisfied with his presence. Oh. You know, don't be offended because this is going to sound a little racist. But y'all know me, I'm not. But this is going, you know, I call it like white girl worship. You ever been to those churches? Oh, Jesus. Oh, blessing. Glory to God. No. See, some of y'all understand that, right? you know, some Bethel. I need a little rock and roll in mine, you know. I need a little funk. I need a little R&B or something, man. I got to have a little something, you know. Let me move on. But we become satisfied. Oh, we're in the presence of the Lord. Can't you just feel him? You know what I'm talking about, right? And, you know, and we like that kind of worship because it don't mess up your clothes. It don't mess up your makeup. It don't make you cry ugly. Because it's worship the way you want it. It's cute. It's cute. You can just do your little ha 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 in your little skinny jeans and act like everything's good, you know. You feel like you're in the presence of God because you found some skinny jeans on sale or something. I'm talking about really when you have been to hell and back and you don't care how your makeup looks and you don't care about being cute. You know that you've got to touch the hem of his garment, because if you don't touch his garment, ain't nothing else going to do you any good. So you just begin to worship. I'm not talking about being satisfied in the presence of God, but I'm telling us to be satisfied with grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar and touching heaven like we once did. Come on, give him praise in this house. Glory! Just like the multitude, they were happy to be in his presence. Not me. I'm going to reach out and touch him. If God shows up, I'm like Jacob. I'm not leaving till you touch me. Come on, somebody. You know, we do things in our church. I'm trying to. Are you kidding me? Well, shoot, my watch says it's 7 o'clock. I started early. Anyway. I don't understand this, and it's because of my personality. But, you know, we were doing things because some of our staff said, you know, Pastor, some folks would like to meet you, so we need to have opportunities so they can get to meet you. And, that kind of blows my mind, because if I want to meet me, I'll just come up and meet me. Right? You know, I'm not one of those guys that I just want to hang out in the presence. You see who's here? Look over there. Look over there. Look, don't look too, not too obvious. Not too obvious. But God is here. Where? Oh, he didn't. We don't want to scare him off. Don't look at him right in the eyes. No. But I'm one of those, hey, check this out. How you doing? Hey, glory. Come on. You know what I'm saying? So that's my attitude, man. That's if God's in the house, listen, you can call me whatever you want to. And I'm a very generous person. I'm a servant. But when it comes to the blessing of God, I'm a hog. I'll eat yours if you don't eat it. I'm going to move you out of the way if you don't want what God has for you. Here I am. God, I'll take it. Give it to me. Give it to me. I want it. I'll touch you. I want your presence. Yeah. 12 years. Our text said that she was sick for a long time. But she heard of Jesus. What have you heard of him? See, maybe you want to know one of the prime reasons why folks don't come to the house of God. Maybe it's because of what they hear you talk about church and Jesus. But see, listen. Faith will never give birth to negative speech and negative thoughts. But I'm persuaded she heard something positive, that she heard of the goodness and the forgiveness and the mercy of Jesus. When she heard of Jesus, she said, I got to touch him. So now here's my imagination. Now, I told you, y'all don't get up in here because it'll mess y'all up. But my imagination kicks in. My imagination, I can just imagine a little boy who had a crippled up foot, had a little crutch, never could play with all the rest of the kids. And a woman come by and go, "Hey, Johnny, how are you?" "Oh, I'm fine, ma'am. I'm fine. Well, I've been to the doctor, but I'm not any better. But I'm all right. Ma'am, how are you?" "Well, I've been to the doctor, but you know, they say there's nothing more they can do for me. So I'm just learning how to live with my issue." "Oh, it's worse. The doctor said it's worse. They said they may have to cut off my foot." "Really? Oh my gosh. Well, honey, I'm gonna go light a candle for you." I'm not putting down anything. I'm just saying, I'm gonna go light a candle for you. Then about 3 or 4 days later, she's walking down the street and a ball comes up and hits her, and a little boy comes running up and says, "I'm sorry." And it's little Johnny. And she goes, "Where's the crutches?" She goes, "Oh, a man named Jesus came by. A man named Jesus come by, and I don't need the crutches anymore." You see what happened? And then a couple of days later, she saw a familiar man, and it looked, she goes, "Man, don't I know you?" He goes, "I don't know. My name is Bartimaeus." He goes, "Whoa, yeah, old Blind Bart. Old Blind Bart used to be on the corner of 4th and Main. What in the world?" "Oh, yeah, I was blind. But I heard about a man named Jesus coming by. And when he came by, I said, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" And people tried to shut me up, but I went, 'Jesus, I need a touch from you, Jesus.' And they tried to say, 'Shut up, oh hush, you're embarrassing me.' And I grew a little louder, said, 'Jesus.' And he touched and he turned around and said, 'Come to me.' And I put off my coat and I went over to where he was and he touched me and I was made whole." He gave me my sight. What doctor did you go to? What doctor did you say it was? No, it wasn't a doctor. His name was Jesus. I heard of a healer. And I heard him come by and I began to yell. And I met him on the road. And Jesus touched me and now I'm made whole. If we would tell people of the goodness of God, instead of the complaint about all of our problems. Listen, I'm not talking about being the church people who never have trouble. You know who I'm talking about. They're not here right now. They'll be in the 11 o'clock service. You know the people I'm talking about. How are you? "Oh, hallelujah, I'm blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, if I was any better, it'd be two of me." I've used that, you know. But if you would tell people about the goodness of the Lord instead of complaining about not enough parking. If you'd tell people about the goodness of Jesus instead of "They didn't sing my favorite song today." I sent Josh a song on YouTube and they still haven't sung it. And those of you that are sending songs, keep sending them. We like them. Why don't you do some of them? Some of them we do. Some of them we don't like. If you would tell them how I was sick, but Jesus made me whole. How my marriage was about broken up, but Jesus brought me back together. Or maybe my marriage was almost broken. Guess what? It did broke, but it didn't break me because Jesus has me and I'm going to be all right because I can't lose with Jesus. After hearing of this, I believe the woman's heart began to beat 150 miles an hour. She started looking for the man. She said, "I don't care what it costs me. I don't care where he's at. I don't care. I got to find this man named Jesus because nobody else can help me. If there is any help for me, I've got to find Jesus. I heard all these other testimonies, and if God will do it for old blind Bartimaeus, if God will do it for Jairus' daughter, if God will do it for this one, if God will do it for that one, then I know that God will do it for me. So I don't care what I got to do in order to find Jesus, but I'm going to find Jesus." Come on and hear me. And the Bible said that she heard. If you, in your effort to touch Jesus, in your effort to touch the Lord, you will never find a time that usually is a direct route. Oh. What's my next one? Give me my next one, Mike. Yeah, there it is. Oh, there's Jesus. And you never usually ever go,
Oh, yes, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, yes. Now, he ain't Jesus, I'm just saying Jesus. Thank you. He's got a beard like him, not quite as long, but thank you, Jesus. But usually what happens is you'll see Jesus and everything in the world will be between you and Jesus. But somewhere along the line, you got to make up your mind. Somewhere along the line, you got to decide, I'm going to leave the safety of what I know. Somewhere along the line, I know that there are obstacles before. I know I got to press through some of my own issues. I got to press through my junk. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what I got to climb over. I don't care what I got to step in or step through. But I declare that I'm going to find Jesus and I'm going to make a way to get to where Jesus is. I'm going to make the effort because God's going to touch me. I know that if I will keep on pressing in and pressing through, that I know that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God hath said it, he shall bring it to pass. And I don't care what people say. I don't care how much they tell me to shut up and calm down. I'm going to touch him because what I need is Jesus. What I need is Jesus. There will always be an obstacle between you and him. But I don't care. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to touch him. Now here's what separates the men from the boys. Is they were willing to go through the press. Come here, Dean. Come here, Roger. Come here, Rodney. Come here, Craig. Y'all just stand right there. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Face the people. Y'all come in there. Y'all get there. Come on, get right there. Get right there. Come on, I want to say Dave. Terry, I knew it was close. Dave and Terry, one of them. Yeah, just stand right there with them. The problem is you're looking, oh, Jesus is over there. Oh, Jesus, here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Jesus. Touch me. Touch me. No, instead, you need to go. No, no. I'm going to press through the crowd to get to Jesus. Thank you, guys. I'm going to press through. I'm going to press through whatever I got to press through because I got to touch him. I'm going to touch him. Can you say amen? You see, you know what she did before she ever touched him? She settled the issue in her heart. She talked herself into it. That if I can just touch him. If I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. If I can just get to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. And here's why a lot of us, and here's where a lot of us are. Because we haven't settled the issue in our hearts. This lady's walking up and down the streets, and I believe she is saying over and over to herself, I think I can find him. And if I can find him, I'll be okay. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be all right. She never had to even ask for virtue. My God, somebody hear me. Sue, who will be in the 11 o'clock service 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, during worship, came to the altar and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Nobody laid hands on her. Nobody invited her. Nobody asked her to come down. Nobody led her. She just said, I've got to touch Jesus. Not I hope I get touch. She said, I'm going to get touch. And when Jesus knew virtue went out of him, he turned. He stopped. And he said, power just left me. Power just left me. Jesus was saying, I didn't say who brushed up against me. They said, Jesus, there's people, everybody. He's going to know. I want to know who deliberately touched me. You know you touch people when you don't, when you know, you didn't mean to touch them. Just Wednesday night, there was a lady, and she'll probably be in the 11 o'clock service, but she had a backpack
and she was behind me, and I was talking to somebody, you know how I do my hands, and I my hand went back, and I thought I hit her on her butt. And I'm like, oh, geez, I'm sorry. She goes, oh, that's just my backpack. I don't mean that you just haphazardly run into Jesus. No, I see him, and I'm going after him. And if I don't do nothing else today, I'm going to touch him. Because if I touch him, virtue is going to flow. If I touch him, I shall be made whole. What's my next one, Mike? Come on. How many times have we said, I hope the Lord shows up and comes by? Come on, give me the next one. Come on. How many times have we said, I hope the Lord shows up and comes by? I just said that one. Give me the next one. Is that it? All right, that's it. My question is this. Anybody can bump into him, but how many is going to deliberately touch him this morning? Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. I know it's a little late. It's not that late according to my watch. Come on, I want you to lift up your hands right now. In your mind, begin to press in. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. He's here this morning. But if you don't know him, ask him to touch him. Reach out and touch him and ask him to come into your life.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.